Okay, the word that the Lord kept bringing back was the church without walls. And many, many years ago, when Pastor Gino went home to be with the Lord, there was a lot of his material that was going to be thrown away. And most of you that have been part of the church have known that there was one picture that I kept because I had a real strong press. And it's a photograph that was taken at somebody's wedding. And instead of having a roof on the building and walls on the interior, everything was gone. And they don't know how it happened, but it was a forecast of the future. And as I was taking my shower this morning, the Holy Spirit brings it back in a, like, okay, do you now recognize that this church is a church without walls? And I said, yes, Lord. And what he reminded me of is that in Peter's message to the church, he was reminding the church that we are to be kings and priests. In the religious system, we are depending on someone else to do the homework for us. But now we're being called to become kings and priests of the Lord. In other words, doing the intercession, pulling down strongholds, pulling down bad thoughts that are trying to hurt us. And since we're all confined to our home, we can't depend on someone else to do it for us. So I said, Lord, what is it that you want me to give to the saints today? And he brought me back to Hebrews chapter 1. And so I'd like to quote to you Hebrews chapter 1. Verses 7, he says, in speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. Then it says in verse 13, to which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? So the Lord has made it clear that his angels are going to go to work on our behalf if we declare the word of the Lord. So the other scripture that was very strong that he reminded me of with a vision, and that is in Hebrews chapter 4. Because again, when the Lord was teaching the Hebrews, he was teaching them to become kings and priests. He was teaching them that they could not depend on someone else to do their homework for them, that they had the ability to do for themselves if they fought back the way he wanted it to be done. So Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 13 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts. Listen carefully to what it says. It judges the thoughts and the attitude of my heart. Then he pressed me in to go a little deeper with the Amplified version. So here's the Amplified version of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word that God speaks is alive. Now you say, well, God speaks? Yes. You and I have the Holy Spirit within us. So we're speaking God's word through our mouth. That is what activates those angels. If you don't speak what God says, you're going to get the natural results from the world. Oh, I'm afraid. And the spirit of fear will immediately come to work on your behalf to destroy. But if you declare the word of God, that the blood of Jesus covers you, protects you, you will have the full power of the word and his angelic assistance every time you open your mouth. So I repeat, for the word of God, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life. I love that part. Dividing line of the breath of life, which is your soul, mind, will, and emotions, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of my heart. I changed the words there to recognize that it is your heart that he's working on. So again, when you look at this and you say, oh my God, what can I have to protect me against this ugly virus that wants to destroy not only our nation, but our people? And so I said to the Lord again, because you see, I'm full of questions and I'm very nosy. I've confessed that to you guys over and over. I'm never satisfied until I get what he's trying to do. And so he said to me again, look at how Jesus responded when he was tested. So how do we get there? We get there in Luke chapter 4. Are you ready to see what Jesus did when he got tested? Chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert. Notice it's not the demons that were leading him. It was the Spirit of God, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Now, keeping that in mind, we're being tempted right now to believe the newspaper, to believe every fear tactic that's on television. Everything that's out there from people's mouths, when you get a phone call, fear tries to rule and is ugly. Irene and I were watching some of the news last night. And all of a sudden I said, Irene, can we just shut this off? Because it is getting to me. It is trying to come into my heart. And I could just sense the spirit of fear attacking. So we shut the thing off and we went in the kitchen. We played a game of cards. You say, well, that's not godly. It sure is. Because you see, we started to laugh. We started to enjoy ourselves instead of being tormented about which area of our country is going to lose some elderly people. Because that's where it's hitting the most. After about an hour, we responded to what God had put in our hearts. Get away from the bad news and start putting in some joyful moments. You see, when you look at Jesus in the next level of his test, the devil led him, verse 5, up to a high place and showed him the instant, in an instant, all the kingdoms of the world. Why would he show him all the kingdoms of the world? And he said to him, I will give you all these, their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me. Was the devil lying? And I can give it to anyone I want to. So, if you worship me, it will all be yours. How did Jesus respond? With his emotions or with the truth? He spoke the word of God. Verse 8, Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. You see, we have a choice when we're hearing bad news. We can either build up the person that we're hearing it from, and if it's from your TV, you have a button that says off. If it's someone on the phone, ask them if they're willing to turn it around and start believing God's protection. I was on the phone this morning with someone, and I was reminding them that we're entering very soon the Passover season. I don't think that Moses had a bright idea and his instructions came 2 seconds before the Passover season came, because he instructed every family in Egypt, who is, by the way, they were all slaves and they were in bondage. I can truthfully say that out of the family members that I have and those that I know outside of the church, their time to declare the word of God is extremely rare. Do they believe what they say is going to happen? And most of them know. Mark 11:24 says, believing you have received, it will be done unto you. Well, that works in both directions. If you're so afraid of catching this virus and you start declaring, I can't go outside, I can't do this or that, when the Holy Spirit tells you that you're covered by the blood, if you declare what God says about you, you will be protected and those angels will be with you every step of the way. But if you declare your fear tactics and you make it public, you're opening the door to the darkness and the hopelessness of tomorrow. So Jesus got tested how many times? Multiples of times. Now, in verse 12, he says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. That one jumped out at me. Because putting the Lord God to the test implies that Jesus is God, but I'm not. So that was a word that Jesus could speak, but I can't speak. And that's a lie from hell. In Romans 8, it says, if the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, it lives in me and you, then the same God that protected Jesus and his same Holy Ghost was inside of Jesus as a man, he was rebuking the enemy and declaring he was a God above him. And he was the one who had authority to say, don't try to test me, because I will respond. The same applies when you get a bad thought. And the thought stays there instead of dealing with it. If you deal with it, you're going to mature. And you're going to become a king and a priest. And you have a right to respond to the word of God. And it won't be the first time that I've taught you about 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This one might be a little bit painful because it's going to call for accountability on each of our parts. We're different, but we all have an accountability. Are you ready? Verse 1. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. What are the standards of this world? Television, radio, movies, telephone, and internet. Verse 3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Well, the world would use all kinds of tactics to fight this thing that is trying to attack and destroy this nation and many other nations throughout the world. St. Paul is clear. Though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now you say, divine power? Yes, that's what the word of God is. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, and when it comes out of your mouth, it will destroy what the plan of the darkness is. Verse 5. I want to change the word we to me. I demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So if you can kind of digest that and read it as I'm saying it, I demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against God's knowledge, the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. When the anointing is on you and me, and we're in prayer, we get a anointing of the Lord that we're invincible, and it's not from pride. When we are under the anointing of, I've got a vaccine that protects me, nothing is wrong with that vaccine. But I'm trying to tell you, the vaccine cannot do the work that the Holy Spirit can do through you if you resist with the word of the Lord. Verse 6, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. That one I will repeat again, and I will change the words so that it fits my narrative. I will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once my obedience is complete as a king and as a priest. He's expecting me to respond with the word of God and to push away the darkness as quickly as it tries to come in. Because you see, the enemy's trying to scare you into believing that somebody's going to bring that germ in your house. You're going to have to go somewhere and you're going to pick up that germ. And I'm not trying to say that there isn't a possibility of those things. I am saying, however, we have to obey what God gives us to obey. But he's looking for us to become kings and priests. Verse 7 says, you are looking only on the surface of things. Well, if you're only looking at the bad news from the newspaper, you're going to get depressed. You're going to start huddling your thought patterns, and you won't fight back, because you're going to be under an emotional barrage of darkness. Again, you are looking only on the surface of things. Has anything changed in 2,000 years? Was St. Paul waking them up, or is he trying to wake you and me up? If anyone is confident that he belongs to Christ, he should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as he. Now, there's one confirmation that I want to show you, which is kind of awesome. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, says, let's start with verse 1. I hope you will put up with a little of my foolishness, but you are already doing that. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, the anointed one, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. You see, the focus is on becoming mature, awakening to what you have already been given, and then using it with great wisdom. You say, well, how about all this stuff that's going on in the world? Well, it's going on because there's a purpose. And when we sent you that letter, those of you who got that from the mail, or if you got the letter from trying to give you an awareness up front, you see, we quoted Hosea 4:6. But I'm going to take you back to Hosea now. So if you want to take a look at that, it may be helpful. Hosea chapter 4. Verse 1 says, hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursing, lying, murder, stealing, adultery, and they break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this, the land mourns, and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea are dying. But let no man bring a charge. Let no man accuse another, for your people are like those who bring charges against a priest. You stumble day and night, and the prophets stumble with you. So I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You see, because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I will also ignore your children. The more the priests increase, the more they sinned against me. They exchange their glory for something disgraceful. They feed on sins of my people and relish their wickedness, and it will be like people like priests. You see, the old priesthood was giving bad examples. How about you and me as godly priests? Where we see ourselves sometimes fall short. What's the remedy? Declare the word of the Lord. Declare the truth of God about yourself first, because the first person you're accountable to is him. The lack of knowledge is only an excuse. You've got a Bible, so do I. You've got teachings from every type of teacher out there. Some are of the Lord, and you will become a greater person by obeying what they teach. Others will lead you into a dependent, childlike nature. The Lord doesn't want that forever. There's a season to be a child in God, but there's also a season to grow up and mature. So my prayer is that you will just be able, as a choice, to lift up the name of Jesus, to use the sword that is available to you, which is the word of God. And it will chop down the darkness. It will take down the thoughts that tried to bury you alive and to become everything that he designed you to be. So keeping that in mind, that's my prayer for today, that every one of you, including those that are listening to this message later on, that they will awaken and they can become priests and kings of God in the image of the firstborn son, which is Christ Jesus himself. And all of God's people said,